to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And we are here and the sun is just going down on another, a beautiful day here in Houston. It's just absolutely awesome here. Kind of warm, but that's okay because I like the warm weather. But just welcome to the program tonight. And you may notice that I typically try to have all these wild shirts and stuff, that I just love shirts. But let me tell you, I have a new favorite shirt on tonight, and I'm going to wear this son of a gun out. I just love this. And we're going to talk about these shirts this evening because we have the CEO of the company that runs this t-shirt company, this sports apparel company, and he's going to be with us tonight. So I want you to get involved tonight. This is going to be one of those, I just have a feeling that this is going to be one of those shows when we get off in the next 55 minutes, we're going to go, wow, was that not awesome? You'll want to get some people on line tonight. We are going around the world this evening on so many different platforms live, but you can actually get on our Shattered by the Darkness Facebook account if you want to, on our page right now. And I'm looking at it over here, and it is up and running. You can actually comment, have questions, and just give our guests some opinions and thoughts and comments if you have a question for our guest tonight. Or you can just talk to us right through the radio station in California by calling toll-free. It won't cost you a penny. 888-627-6008. And you can call right in, and the wonderful producers out there, BBS Radio, will tap you right into our conversation. And we normally try to get you in just as soon as the phone rings. So when it comes up on my screen that we have a caller, we're going to bring you in. Next week, we have a huge, heavy hitter. And you may not recognize the name, but if you type in Rebecca Bender, B-E-N-D-E-R, in your search engine or Google or Bing or Yahoo, whatever, Rebecca Bender is going to be our guest next week. And I believe she's from the wonderful state of Oregon, I believe. And she's going to tell her story next week, and it will lay you out. But tonight, it is an honor this evening to have with us the CEO of Slim Strength Company, Cornelius Johnson. And he is with us this evening. Cornelius is an individual that I learned from several different people that we've had on our show, that is somebody that they wanted to connect me with. And immediately we started talking back and forth on via email. And I have got on his site that I just love. And you can just go right on this site right now, slimstrength.com, and look at all this wonderful stuff. And you'll notice that there's a message in all of the apparel and the shirts that he has and produces and comes up with. We'll talk about how he came up with some of these ideas possibly. But all the way from around the Richmond, Virginia area, I want to welcome Cornelius Johnson to the program tonight. Cornelius, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
Well, let me see your shirt. Okay, so you got the top shirt. See, I got that one too.
Yeah.
And okay, wonderful. I got that too. And that blood means bottom line, only one died. And that's just awesome. Mine says iron sharpens iron. And it has the Proverbs 27:17. And the neat thing about these is I like, here I'm going to turn back to the camera. I don't know if you can see it. But I like the actual little details right up in here in the shirt. A lot of T-shirts just print on the front and then they try to sell it. This is good quality stuff. And I just love the feel of these. So this is wonderful. But it's not about merchandise. That's not about what Cornelius is all about. And Cornelius, before we start, I always like to throw out this question. And if you watch any of the shows, you'll know probably what my first question is. What is it that you're passionate about that gets your feet to hit the floor coming out of bed every morning? What do you want to accomplish one more time during that day? Tell me about what it is that you do.
Man, so right now I'm an employee at Amazon. I work at Amazon. Right now I'm a tier three manager at Amazon during the day. And of course, Slim Strength is my vision, my dream, what God has given to me. But what I want to do is leave a legacy for my family, for my children. You know, I have 6 kids and I have 7 grandkids. So that means I got a lot of work to do. And I just want to set them up to be in a better position. And not just monetarily, but just to have that option to do different things and to do more. You know, so that's my biggest drive, is to have that legacy in place when I'm gone. You know, what I believe the Lord gave me and he shared with me, that this is something generational that could be passed down to my kids' kids, my children's children. And that's what I want to do. You know, that means a lot to me to be able to change the trajectory of my family lineage and where we came from.
Okay. So are you passing on the generation of what was passed to you, or are you breaking the cycle to make sure the next generation that you pass on is completely different?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was just talking about the business side of that,
going
to my children.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely want to break that cycle of what I went through. And I believe I have in a lot of areas, because, you know, I didn't grow up with my dad. I've been in my kids' life all their life. So yeah. I know I've broken that cycle because I've been there, you know, but for me personally, you know, I want to definitely change that, hands down, and definitely don't want them to go through what I went through.
Now, you have a story that has all kinds of different webs in it, because when something happens, a lot of people think maybe when trauma enters into a life, it could just be a one-time event, but that one-time event starts off a domino of other things that happen in people's lives. Since probably majority of our viewers don't know your story, would you like to just start right in and just tell us a little bit about how you got to be where you are now?
Absolutely. So in 2008, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, are you ready to labor so others can reap? And that was also the same year that I got the vision for Slim Strength. So just to kind of give a backdrop of Slim Strength, Slim Strength was a phrase that I heard. I had no idea that it was going to be a sports apparel brand. I was actually listening to an interview from Coach John Thompson Sr. from Georgetown, and he was talking about Richard Rip Hamilton. He had just got drafted. And he was like, yeah, you know, Rip, he's not that big. He's not that tall, but he got that Slim Strength. And I was like, Slim Strength? I like that for me. Because I'm 6'6", Dr. Gregory, so I'm tall and slim. So when I heard that phrase, Slim Strength, I just really connected to it. But I had no idea that it was going to be what it is today. So from 1999 to 2005, I would just use the phrase. When someone would say something to me, they'd be like, oh, you just tall. I'd be like, that's all right. I got that Slim Strength. So 2008 come around. Oh, my goodness. That's when the Lord really, like, showed me my purpose. And I'm going to try to give you enough information, but I'm going to be jumping back and forth.
Sure.
In 2008, the Lord spoke that to me. Are you ready to labor so others can reap? I was like, wow, God. And that led me on a 6-day fast. That was the first time that I fasted for 6 days with just water. I mean, but it was such a it was such an experience that I can't explain it, but I know it was God that held me for 6 days with just water. And the revelation that he gave me was just remarkable. And again, that's the same year I got the revelation for Slim. So I knew I had something, but I didn't know what Slim Shrimp was. I'm like, God, where is Slim Shrimp? Where is Slim Shrimp? And I'm in my quiet time praying one morning. I just kept saying, Slim Shrimp. Slim Shrimp, as clear as I'm talking to you, I hear the spirit says, spirit lives in man. And that's the acronym for Slim. So it's not about Slim and Stash, it's about the spirit of God dwelling inside of us. So your focus should be building up your inner man and not your outer man. And that's what Slim stands for. It also stands for spirit lives in me. And what I like about the spirit lives in me is that now it's personal. You accepted that the spirit of God is living inside you. So when you say spirit lives in me, you have a personal relationship with that. And that's what Slim Shrimp is. And that's what kept me. And I want to reference something in your book. Remember I told you hashtag 151?
Yeah, what was that all about?
All right, so, man, doctor, when I picked up your book, I didn't think I was going to finish it. I'm going to tell you right now. What you went through was just, man, and I don't want to, bring that up, but this is what you said. You said, because I had given my heart and life to Jesus at a very early age, he gave me an inner strength. And when I read that, like, man, that's what Slim Shrimp is. I was like, that's what it is. Because a lot of people think, oh, when they see the word slim and they see me, of course, oh, I got to be slim. No, it's about that inner strength. That was there to keep you, to keep me, to keep all those other survivors. Once you tap into that, oh man, I mean, oh my goodness. You said to deal with my daily abuse, it was hard to explain, but there was a internal strength that kept me strong on the inside. And I just connect, and the weight that I was having from reading your book, doctor, was just lifted. When I read that part, I was like, man, thank you, Jesus. Because only God could have got you through that. And only God can get me through what I've been through. I'm sorry if I went on a tangent, man, but I was very passionate when I read this book, man. It's like I was so angry. But when I got to that part, I just felt the weight just lift. I like, thank you, God, man. And so it really just helped me to, even before I read your book, I boldly say this people been through worse than me. And I get that, so just to share my story, I never thought I could talk about this. I thought I was going to go to the grave with it and it'd be left alone. But I'm a product of incest. My mother's uncle is my father. So okay.
Your mother's uncle is your father. Okay.
Yes, sir. So when I found, I was very young when I found out about it, but I didn't know what it was. Of course, I didn't know what incest was, but my fight was so internal. It was so much spiritual stuff going on with me. From that, I didn't know how to deal with it, contemplating killing myself, didn't want to deal with it, didn't know how to deal with it. Couldn't go talk to nobody about it at the time because I was too ashamed, too embarrassed, and really just didn't understand. I didn't really get the boldness until God spoke to me and said, it's time to share your story. Now, up until that point, God had been grooming me, right? So God had been preparing me for that. So when he spoke that message to me, are you ready to labor so others can reap? I understood it, but I didn't. It's been, 13 years, and I'm still getting revelation of what God spoke to me that day. So it was, I got it, but then the process started. So from 2008 to now, it's just been an awesome experience with God. And as that Slim Shrimp is what kept me. I am Slim Shrimp. So it's time to tell your story. And I'm like, okay. Slim Shrimp is my story. That's who I am. Because of Slim Shrimp, I was able to endure. I was able to be kept. I'm just grateful that God saw fit for me to be there, even through the midst. It's stuff my mom don't even know about. When I was four and five, her brothers had us perform oral sex on them, me and my other brother, at four and five. So I came from a family of just perverseness, perverseness. So I was dealing with a perverse spirit for a long time. You know, this is something that steady, even now, tries to really attach itself to me, you know. But God kept me, man. He kept me. He just kept me. I just get so excited because he kept me. I should have probably been dead and gone by now, you know, but God.
Yeah, words are possibly the two most powerful words we can utter, but God. Yeah, I should have, but God. I could have, but God. This would have happened, but
God.
Yes, and I love that. When did all of this become issues with you? Because, you know, four was my first recollection, too. But at 4 years old, Cornelius, I wasn't for sure if it was wrong yet. You know, I just was involved in it. I knew what was being done to me. I knew I didn't like it, but I didn't know how full of perversion it was.
Right.
Until I got older. When did it start to develop in you of like, wait, this is something majorly wrong?
That's a great question. So for me, as you said, I thought it was normal. And the reason why I said it, because at four, I had that happen. Then at 12, when I was in a foster home and I was molested, so I'm like, man, this must be the normal thing, you know, and not necessarily everybody doing it, but it's like, okay, well, this must be normal. So really, honestly, at the age of 22, and this is the part where, you know, maybe, you know, because my friends and, you know, I don't know what they'll think about me, but, you know, it doesn't matter because I know that wasn't me. But at the age of 22, I was having these homosexual thoughts and I'm like, whoa, I know I don't want to be that. But I knew, I didn't know it now. I know now it was spiritual. It was demonic forces really trying to attach itself to me from that preferred spirit. And I think where I may have messed up was because I didn't know how to deal with it. And I tried to bury it and I just tried to forget about it. And so for me, that spirit would lay dormant for years. The next thing I know, it pops out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the world's going on? So I'm in college at this point and I'm like, why am I having these? I'm in my dorm room yelling at God, like, God, I don't want to be gay. What's going on? So now I would go out and sleep with women to make myself feel like I'm a man. So now I'm fornicating and I'm just having a loose life because I know I don't want to be that way. Right. So at 22, I think I just really like, wait a minute, I need deliverance. But I didn't know about deliverance then.
So at 22, that's when everything started showing its ugly face, not on the outside.
No,
but the battle starts happening in here.
Yeah, the battle was there the whole time. Yeah, I mean, from a young age, I mean, just, you know, it just had me at a point where I didn't have no confidence in myself. I didn't believe in myself. You know, I just had a very low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I didn't have nobody to talk to about it besides God. But my relationship with God wasn't mature, you know.
Right.
It was, you know, I just felt like God was just covering me, but I was still going through those, you know, those bad experiences. So, but when I started to really look into it for myself at the age of 22, that's when I kind of looked up. Let me see what incest is. What is this? So that was the very first time I can recollect that I like looked into it because I never really looked into it. Me growing up, I didn't have anybody that I could relate to that was going through the same thing that I went through. And I know it's a lot of people, but that's something that you don't talk about when it's stuff. That you're not going to really talk about that, but I know I know it's prevalent now. But back then, I didn't think nobody else was going through something like that, you know. Yeah. So,
we're going to take our first commercial break, and on the other side of this break, when we come back, Cornelius, I want to try to peel a couple of the layers back of the onion at 22. Uh-huh. All of these thoughts are battling and you're wondering about your sexuality, your manhood.
Yeah.
All the things that are battling. And I want to try to figure out how, because I got a feeling you probably danced. I'm looking on my phone. Absolutely. I knew this would. My phone is starting to explode with people going, awesome. Okay. Yeah. Because number one, we don't get too many men on here that tell the story. I think that's why people call me and want me to speak, because there's not that many out there. It's usually typically women that have been, but I don't think that's true. I think it's just harder for men to deal with it because of this issue that you're talking about right now. And I want to dig into that because it may not be pleasant, but it's something that I think our audience needs to hear. And we have people looking for hope tonight, and you can be the one that allows that mask to be pulled off and say, hey, this is okay. Deal with it. God will get you through it. So we're going to talk about that a little deeper on the other side of this break. Call us at 888-627-6008. It's not too late to get your friends on the Facebook page, Shattered by the Darkness, or just get on BBS Radio, all the different YouTubes and all the different platforms we're on live tonight, and say, hey, you want to listen to this show tonight. We'll be right back with the next segment with Cornelius Johnson after this commercial break. Be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All right. Welcome back. And here we are with Cornelius Johnson, and appreciate you being with us tonight. 888-627-6008 is the number to call if you want to get involved in the conversation. And Cornelius, at 22, you were talking about the battle, the inside battle, even though you had to battle this all of your life. But you were saying at 22, you was just starting to look up what the incest was all about. And that's when you kind of, it all started to make sense to you, and you started putting the pieces together.
Well, it didn't really make sense to me. I just kind of wanted to get more information because I hadn't never really looked into it. So even then, when I found out what it was and just had a better understanding, I still tried to ignore it. Because I got the information, but I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to, you know, digest that and deal with it so that it wouldn't be such a hindrance in my life. Because from 22 to 28, I got married at 27. And, you know, at 28, you know, I'm being intimate with my wife and I'm having homosexual thoughts. And I'm like, what the world? And I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore. Like, man, I can't deal with this torment. But thank God, man, at this time, I'm in a church, Mount Gilead, and I believe the Lord showed me that the devil could not get to me because of my connection to my church, to my man of God, my woman of God, that he could throw the darts at me, but he couldn't grab me because the torment was so bad. I mean, it was just like, I mean, as a heterosexual male, someone who knew that that's not the lifestyle that I wanted. But I'm like, well, why is these thoughts are so powerful and so strong? And I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to be intimate with my wife at the time. And I just couldn't understand why. But it was because that demonic force was still there. And because I never dealt with it. So it just kept coming back. And then at that time, I felt like it was coming so strong because I had been out of church about 2 years. You know, for some reason, I was like, oh, I don't have to go to church. I got God in my heart. That's a lie. You need to go to church to help you with things like this. And so when I finally got the courage to talk to people about it, I felt like they treated me differently. I did have enough wisdom to know I just couldn't go and tell everybody and anybody. But the people that I did share with, I felt, and it could have been me, but I felt like they looked at me differently or they treated me differently because after I shared that information with them. And so then I just kind of backed up.
That caused you to close down a little bit?
Yeah. I don't recall having a dramatic situation like you shared in your book and when you shared with your roommate and how he reacted. I don't think I had an incident that bad. Because most of the people that I shared it with, for one, were in the church. You know, so I was comfortable to share with someone in the church because that's my church. That's my home. That's my church home. So I never shared this even until now. You know, I don't know how many of my friends are looking, but I never shared it with any of my homeboys, my boys. They don't know none of this stuff. I never had that conversation with them because I was too embarrassed to talk to them about that because I didn't want them to think that, you know, that I was that way. And I really wasn't because it was a demonic force that I was fighting with, but I just didn't know how to fight it. I didn't know how to deal with it, you know? So yeah. So from 22 to 28, it was rough mentally, you know, mentally, the torment, because incest in some cases, you can see it on the outward, right? But in my case, it was more internal. It was just an internal torment that was just like driving me to suicide. Like I just didn't want to live anymore because I couldn't deal with the thoughts. I couldn't deal with, you know, what came with all that. And so, yeah, so I'm 46 now. So I'm not that old. I'm not that young. But at 25, I remember that's the first time I really felt like I had confidence. At 25. So from 6 to 25, I'm walking around with no confidence, not believing in myself, don't know what God's purpose is for me. So
how do you deal with the suicidal thoughts, Cornelius? How do you deal with those?
Honestly, I think my faith was just there. God, you know, just I guess deep within me, I really didn't want to kill myself, but I think the enemy was just trying to convince me to kill myself. You know, so I think it's just my faith, man, and me really not wanting to do that. But at the same time, the thoughts were so powerful, man, and strong and just like constantly. And then sometimes, like I said, that thing would lay dormant. And the next thing I know, it comes out of nowhere. I'm like, what the world?
Yeah. And, that's the problem, I believe, with having all this stuff held down and buried, because we really think if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. Let me tell you, and I can't recall who said it, and I wish I could give credit to him, but it said it was something about when you push things down, it doesn't mean it's out of mind. It means it's in the basement, lifting weights, getting stronger, because it's eventually going to come up those stairs and it's going to get you. And when it does, it rears its ugly head. You threw out a statement a while ago that, and we just passed right over it, 12 years old, foster care?
Yeah.
Okay, that's major. What happened there, if it's not getting in places I don't need to go.
Right.
Just by throwing that out, what kind of situation got you placed in foster care, and how long was you ended up being in foster care?
So I lived in four foster homes and a group home for 6 years. So wow. my mom told me that my stepfather at the time convinced her to put us in foster care. And so I was nine. So I wasn't too young and I wasn't too old. I was nine when I left home. So I knew my mom. I knew my stepfather. I knew my siblings. My older brother, James, he actually went to foster care 3 months prior. And I thank God that my mom made it so that we were together. You know,
stay with your siblings.
Well, my brother, mother had five boys and a girl. So me and my older brother, we had the same father. So it happened twice with the incest. But my younger siblings had my stepfather's their father.
Okay.
So we didn't grow up with them, but me and my brother James, we grew up in foster care together and in the group home together. So we were together the whole time. And that was a blessing because a lot of siblings get separated, you know, at a young age and they may reunite when they get older, but me and my brother were together. outside. It was 3 months when he went prior. And then the next time we separated, he went to the Army for 5 years, and I went to Norfolk State University, and we were separated for 5 years. But by this time, I'm 19. I'm a little bit more mature, and I'm able to handle not being with him. But prior to that, that probably would have never happened, you know, being away from my
mother.
Did
the foster care protect you from more possible trauma?
No,
or did it add more trauma to it because you were in homes that you didn't know the people as well as your own family?
Yeah, so both. Unfortunately, most of my foster homes had sexual abuse. My first one, the second one.
You were sexually abused in the foster homes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The second one was probably more the most intense one because I was being molested by their son. I think I was 11 or 12. So I was being molested by their son at that time. And then the third home, you know, that's when he showed his rear head, you know. And this one right here is probably deep because the foster mom's grandson was over there, and out of nowhere he said, I mean, I don't know how I can clean it up, but he said, "Do you want me to give you oral sex?" But he said it, you know, a little bit more graphic. But and I was like, okay. Because at that time I thought it was normal. I thought it was normal. I don't know.
It wasn't out of norm.
It was just like, dang, it's happening again type thing. Like, dang. Right. Okay, so maybe it is normal. I don't know. It was just so, you know, and I just wanna be as transparent as I can because I don't wanna, you know, paint the picture of, you know, not given the whole story because it was tough, man. It was tough. It was tough because, you know, I was picked on growing up and, just that ridicule and how people are treated, you know. So, I was just able to kind of cover it up and shelter it. And, you know, my way of doing that was burying it and not talking about it, just leaving it alone. But that's a mistake because if you don't deal with it, like you said, it's gonna come back stronger. And that's what it was doing. And that's what I was noticing. I'm like, man, why this thing come back so strong? And then at 22, when it was overwhelming. And then again at 28, it was like, even more overwhelming than when I was 22, you know? And I'm like, man, so by this time it was too late because I had developed a relationship with the Lord and, you know, walking with God better, much more. And so I was able to fight more, you know. But so then now this was the last thing that I really had to conquer. And this is a daily battle, you know, what you're thinking about, you know. But I feel like I'm in a really good place. Even to this day, that the enemy tries to grab me and try to, you know, throw those thoughts or, you know, put those influences out there to try to trigger that. But, you know, glory to God, bottom line, only one died and Jesus died for me, you know, and that's what's really, that's the main reason for me to be able to keep going because I have revelation that Jesus died for that. He died, he took this to the cross with him. I know I'm not that person. I know that's not who I desire to be. You know, unfortunately, I had to come this way, but God knows best. I wrote a blog on my web.
Yeah, with what experiences you've had, which is vast, and I got a feeling probably there are several that haven't been told, which is fine. I mean, I didn't tell everything in my first book, and I'm trying to tell everything in the second one when it comes out, but it's tough because some of that stuff you don't even want to remember anymore. You just want, and you do wonder what other people think. So first of all, I want to applaud you on your genuineness of just sharing because you have probably friends, family, all kinds of people, colleagues listening tonight, and this may be the first time, but you are more of a man right now than you ever have been in your life, and God can use you in greater ways right now than you ever have been in position to be used, because you just put the devil back to hell where he belongs, because he can't control it anymore. Because once it stays up here, he can control it. Right, and he probably, the only thing he knows is your past. So at 22, 23, he was saying, remember when? Remember when? Remember when?
Pictures and everything.
Yeah. Someone's coming in with a question, because I want to, because this you're hitting our heart screens. Come on in, Kurt.
How's everything going tonight, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, so we got a question from Georgette Todd.
Yeah, the question, Georgette.
And the question is, what message do you have for fellow survivors, particularly male survivors, and what would you like the average person to know about foster care? So there's two questions. I do apologize. Two questions in there.
That's fine.
Two major questions.
Yeah. And what I would strongly say to that person is to find someone that you trust and start the conversation. You may not be able to talk about it all at once, but at least find that person. You know, God first, you know, but you need someone in the earth that you can talk to as well. So I would say find someone that you can talk to, that you trust, that's going to help you to deal with it. Don't talk to somebody that can't help you deal with it. You need to talk to somebody that's able to help you and pray with you and help you deal with whatever that issue is.
Did you have issues with trust?
And
maybe not being able to tell people that and was afraid to?
Absolutely. When I would go to counseling, I would just sit there. I wouldn't open my mouth. And my, you know, so on for them, they tried, but I was just so stubborn, and I'm like, I'm not talking. I remember saying, I don't want to talk about it. I want to forget about it. But I wasn't dealing with it. You know, I was just trying to just have my way.
It's the opposite. I talked a lot, but I told him what I thought he wanted to hear, not what I needed to say. What I thought. It was another mask. I just threw another mask on and just buffaloed him, and then gave him a lot of money and walked out the door week after week after week. So how did you come to, and maybe you haven't, but you apparently have it. It's the reason for Georgette's answer to her question. How do you recognize trust in a person that you could actually tell one of these deepest secrets to?
Honestly, only time I talk about it is when I feel like the Holy Spirit is unctioning me to talk about it. Because this is not a conversation that I try to have daily. You know what I mean? So I don't even want to control that, because if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have told it. Right. I feel like I'm only doing this because I believe the Lord told me it's time to tell my story. And if he told me that, then it's going to be all right. You know, so, I only do it when I'm feeling it in my heart. You know what, the Lord. And you know what? You know what's amazing? Every time I share it, it blesses the other person that listens. That it blesses them. So that's why that gives me confirmation knowing that I heard from God that this was right. But then, like I said earlier, I've shared it with some people, and I feel like I get treated a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, not like disrespected, but just, you know that vibe.
You do heal a little more each time you share it. There's a little therapy in there for you. Now, Georgette, another half of her question was, what would you tell the average person about foster care?
From a foster kid point of view, or from the foster parent?
Yeah, so the question was, I think Curtis said, what would you like the average person to know about foster care?
Okay, the average person, what they need to know, first of all, they need to have a heart to really accept someone that's not their kid, that they didn't give birth to. You know, I think a lot of foster homes, in my experience, had a lot of conditions. You know, it was conditional. I mean, even in regular homes, you have conditional love. But specifically talking to foster homes, I think they need to know that, you know, when you open your home to a kid, let it be genuine. You know, my first foster home, the mom used to let the son beat us up. Like, really? Like, you know, so don't be that person. You know, you're taking in a wounded child. You know, you need to love that child and give them a good environment, you know, that they can grow. I mean, I was in a very abusive environment. My mother was very abusive. So when she got mad at my dad, she would come and beat me up, you know, beat on me because they got to fighting or whatever, you know. And this incest thing was so deep. I was six years old, and I was in my room, and I'm crying and I'm rolling around in the floor, and my mom come in there and said, "What's wrong?" And I was scared to tell her. She, "You better tell me." And I said, "I'm having visions of having sex with you," at six. Like what? At 6 years old? And the only thing she could say was, "Well, you better pray to God and ask him to help you." And she walked out the door and slammed the door. And because she didn't know how to help me. And she couldn't help me, right? But that's how deep this thing was for me, that at 6 years old, who in the world think about having sex with their mother? You know, so it was crazy. It was just...
Wow. We're going to take our last commercial break. On the other side of this, I kind of want to dig a little bit deeper in that foster care to make sure Georgette's satisfied with what she wanted to hear, but what she wanted the answer to. But then I also want to turn the corner and talk about this great ability to let Slim strength to become that Slim Spirit living in me to become your strength, and how we can encourage other people, and what's your dream? Because, you know, God didn't put you through this just for you to endure it. He put you through it, so, or allowed it to you to go through it, so he could use it to bless the world. And he's going to do it through you. And I want to find out what your dream is that, and what you think your God's vision is for you for the rest of your life. Call in 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back after our last commercial break with more Breaking the Silence with Cornelius Johnson. Be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
I'm reading a lot of text about you right now, how you're touching people's hearts. So you're doing great work. I appreciate your openness and vulnerability and authenticity and all those words that sometimes isn't easy for anyone to share. But I think, you want to be honest with you? I want to see if I can get this interview to somebody like Tyler Perry and say, listen to this, spend 30, 40 minutes, just listen to this and see if he's going to contact you and go, "Hey, I want to do something with you or share this story," because it's an unbelievable story. And I think,
well that's how the, let them know that I majored in theater in school. So
now, you may want a free shirt. That's I don't know. Is it? But I
don't sing, though. I don't sing.
That's all right. I tell you, how do you recover If there's somebody that's listening and saying, I just want hope. I was just listening tonight to how to deal with my own pain. I didn't want to hear about anybody else's. How do I deal with this? What would be your bit of advice, Cordelia, as you got all these people on the edge of their seat and they're leaning into you right now saying, how do I make it? What's your advice?
Man, the only advice that I could give, doctor, is God, you know.
Okay, how do you
developing that,
how do you put skin on that?
You gotta start to believe in yourself. You know, like I said before, I didn't have confidence in me. You know, so once I started believing in me, but it came from a source that I was seeking. But once I started believing in me and seeing glimpse of, okay, I can be great or I can be successful, I started believing it. And then I started walking towards that. And so the more I did that, I just felt like I got closer to really breaking free from a lot of things that I was dealing with.
Yeah. And I honestly think, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, I had no idea what your company name meant. Matter of fact, I thought this is going to be too skinny clothes. It's going to be too tight on me. I really thought that because I'm on the chubbier side. But after you said that, I want everybody to lean in. How do you get through this? Slim.
Slim
drink. That spirit. And the spirit isn't you. The spirit's him in you. So you Amen. Have Preach. To allow the vessel to be open for him to come in and then let it work. I get all these emails and questions and texts about, Greg, how do I learn resilience? How do I learn endurance? You don't. It's already inside of you. You just need something inside that plugs it in that gives you the power.
Got to activate it. I mean, that's perfect, man. That's perfect. You know, that's exactly what Slim Strength is. You know, spirit living in me, spirit lives in man, you know, and that's what the Lord spoke to me. Spirit lives in man because as Christians, we know that male and female is the same, but I want people to understand that it's not about slim in stature. It's about that inner strength that you have to tap into, because there's been times where I felt my spirit, man, bound because of sin. And right. But when you let that, when you let them go free, oh man, when people get to understand our slim strength and they share it, they say stuff like that blow my mind. Like, wow, I've never seen it like that. I guarantee you, if you meditate on that and you look at the stuff that you've been through and what God has brought you to, you'll see how slim strength was there, God, spirit, the spirit of God that was in you, that you allowed to come sup with you. That's what you need. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to come stay and dwell in you. And once that dwelling starts going, now he's going to start to show you your purpose. And that's what happened. That's what happened with me. Once I saw my purpose and had understanding with it, I just started walking differently. I started thinking differently. And, you know, I still deal with my battles, but it was different because now God has showed me, he's given me understanding and wisdom of what he's called me to do.
Has he turned the negative events, the negative trauma into positive fuel for what you know your purpose is now?
I believe so. And that's through forgiveness. I've forgiven them.
How hard was that, Cornelius?
Honestly, it wasn't hard, but I think I held on to it longer than I probably should have. Because, I mean, by nature, I'm a forgiving person. I've always wanted people to like me for me. But it wasn't hard to forgive, but I felt like that was part of that torment, that it was still there, that I had to really get it out of me, you know, and releasing it. You know, so a lot of times we get comfortable in that mess and that's our comfort zone. But that comfort zone is not the right place that you want to be. You want to be able to get out of that.
Yeah. I want to make sure when people, you know, because I can't wait, because the one thing I like about these shirts is because if I'm in line at Ross or Amazon or McDonald's or wherever, and somebody is behind me and they go, what slim strength? boom, there is a testimony that's going to just, I'm going to turn around and say, glad you asked. And that'll lay them out. They may not want to know the answer, but they're going to hear
it. Right. And that's exactly, see, I've always wanted a business that would give God the glory. And I love people. I'm a people person. So this was a perfect vision for me to have because I'm dealing with people, right? Mm-hmm. And so that, and when I'm in the gym working out sometimes and people come up to me like, well, Slim Shrimp, what's that? And again, it's a doorway. It's a way to open people up, to ask a question, and you have an opportunity to witness.
That's,
you
know,
and
that's
what, and what you got, the shirt that you got on is a part of my statement shirt collection. And God has given me a whole bunch of acronyms with this blessed shirt that I have on. I got this message in 2010. My bishop was preaching an Easter message, a resurrection message. And I came out on fire. And I was like, man, God, that's an awesome message. Give me revelation of the blood for myself. Doctor, as soon as I took the next step, I heard bottom line, only one died. I was like, wow.
That's good.
It's so simple and powerful. But that's, as Christians, that's what we stand on.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. Every Christian in the world should have one of these shirts because it tells us bottom line, only one died, and that's Jesus Christ, man.
That's good. I mean, that's good. Curtis has another question for us. Curtis, you there?
Sure. So this has come from Lydia Johnson. Okay. She had asked, well, she said that you've been married for almost 20 years, Cornelius. What has God done to help you with your marriage and become a great father?
Good question.
I mean, so I believe with that right there, I've just been following examples of good men, because growing up, you know, being a father, being a husband, I wasn't taught that from my father, obviously, because I didn't grow up with my father. So it was tough. So what I've done for years now is just watch other examples of
now that is that marriages. Community wide, or is it somebody in history or somebody in modern times? What's a good example of that kind of man for you?
So, I mean, honestly, right now, my pastor and his wife, you know, and my mentors, I have mentors, I have strong marriages, and I just try to make an effort to mimic that, you know. And then the word, you know, so to answer the question about God, you just go with the word. The word says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, scriptures like that, you know, it's another one. Be not bitter towards your wives and things like that. So I just try to stand on scriptures that the word says about marriage and about wives, and allow God to minister to me through his word, you know.
So. And hopefully your kids will see that and model their lives after what they see mom and dad do. That's what's awesome. And then that's when the generation rotates into progressiveness, and generation after generation become good, solid, biblical marriages, foundations for the families to pass on, which is awesome.
Well, honestly, Doc, honestly, I've been a bad example when it, you know, I haven't been, you know, and I'm just gonna be honest, man, you know, because of what I was going through, I wasn't faithful to her. I wasn't faithful to my wife, you know, so I you know, and I'm not gonna make no excuse for it, but my kids unfortunately saw a lot of things that I wish they didn't see, you know. So I failed at that because the influence that I was under for so many years, you know, I wasn't thinking like a man of God should think when it comes to marriage.
The statement that you're standing on right now with being real and true, I want your kids to see this, because this is a man of God when you do something like this. And that's a wonderful example that you're setting right now. And the pastor.
My kids love me dearly. Let me share this with you, Doc. It was times when I was out there living in sin. And, you know, the only thing that... Oh man. The only thing that would keep me going was when I came through the door, my kids would run up to me and give me a hug. And that was like God showing me that he still loves me and my kids still loves me. Now they were younger. They didn't really know what was going on at that time. But yeah, the moments like that, when I would come from sinning, I'm just being honest, come from doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. And as soon as I come to the door, here come my babies running up to me, hugging me.
Unconditional love. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't get any better. Hey, I tell you what, we only have about a minute left. Cornelius, if they want to get in touch with you, any of our listeners want to get online and look at your website, what's the best way to get in touch and to find out more about you and your products?
Absolutely. So my website is slimstrength.com. I'm on Facebook, Slim Strength Activewear. I'm on IG at slimstrength_inc. Or you can email me at Cornelius@slimstrength.com.
Fantastic. I tell you what, Cornelius, I appreciate you being real tonight. I just appreciate that so much. Unbelievable response that we're getting. And I knew that was going to happen because I just had that feeling with you. And I appreciate you sharing tonight. I hope to have you back on.
I hope so, too. I would love to. When my book come out, I would love to come on and promote the book.
That's a promise. And when you overtake Nike in the sporting apparel, don't. I want you to remember me.
Amen.
Thank you, Cornelius. Appreciate it. Tell your wife and your family, thank you for sharing you tonight for an hour with me. And I appreciate that. Everybody around the world, I know they're just applauding you and thanking you. And I appreciate you and your spirit. God bless you, Cornelius. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Bless you, sir.
As we close every program each week, I always want to let you know that no matter where you're at, no matter what's happened, no matter what has been handed to you in this world, there's always, always hope. Join us right here next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. And next week, you will not want to miss it. Rebecca Bender, live from Houston, Texas. Have an awesome week. God bless. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back.